troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
Hello, guys.
Hello out there. Pleasure to be here this evening.
Me too.
Good evening, audience. Tonight we are going to go directly to current events. We had a pretty lively pre-show. And we'll proceed after current events with a few studies. Brother Chris.
Yeah, coming after the day after the annual ritual of going out to the high school to see the fireworks. And I just look over the sea of people sitting in the lawn chairs, my heart just breaks, just to think of the illusion behind all this, this pageantry or whatever with the flags and the fireworks. And it makes me think about what next year is going to look like. I remember what I was thinking last year at this time, but you can just see just the look in the people's faces. I don't know if I have words to describe it, but
this is another version of Christmas.
Yeah.
And there's your idols held in their heart. We had the same thing up in Canada here. They pushed it really hard on the news. The Canadians themselves are not quite into the celebrations as much as they are in the U.S., having, I spent most of my life in the U.S., but they pushed it really hard on television here, and talking about how wonderful the Canadian citizenship is and what a blessing it is to have it. And they got one person coming up making a speech, then another one, just mindlessly talking for 10 minutes and saying nothing.
Right.
And then the whole thing is man-praising. And then I see even a deeper hidden thing in here. I'm seeing that it establishes the thought in their mind that you are from Canada and you're separate from the rest of the world and Canada is sovereign. When in fact it is quite the opposite. We're all in a new world government right now. Canada is no different than Italy. It's no different than Arizona. The driver's licenses are all the same if you really look at the realities of it. But it foments an appearance on the surface of being separate.
Yeah.
And we're really beneath these, it looks like still waters on the top, but underneath is really a serious undertow. And this whole new world order is working, overtime. In this undertow, and they're just veneers. These countries are all veneers. They've had this thing set up for a long time. I'm not saying that they're not progressing in it, and I'm not saying that it's going to be further consolidation. But they still give the appearance to the masses that we're Canada, we're separate, we're the United States, we're separate. And they all will lavish in their glory. And they really foolishly don't understand that they're just the same as Greece.
All right.
And we're told, audience, that's the serpents and the scorpions are running the show right now. The tares.
They've cloaked the spiritual with the physical.
And it's foretold. This is scriptural. This is pale horse. This is the mingling. And this is the earth. Judgment begins at the church. And if we take an analysis, gentlemen, of the church, we could say that this the Christian churches, under their doctrines of demons with pre-tribulation rapture. Chris, what were the three that you just mentioned?
Well,
Minionist?
The three measures of meal as the purpose-driven, which basically attacked the discernment in the churches and prepared the way for the Christian Zionist and the Dominionist movements, which are the main streams of thought right now, with many variations that are basically driving this beast government. You know, the neocon Christian right beast government is steeped in these false doctrines, you know, with the hearts of the Christian church supporting them. And this is truly the woman riding the beast. We're seeing it absolutely. You know what? The pale horse is in a gallop, because this whole thing is absolutely on its I'm not going to say the home stretch, as far as I don't know how long they're going to string this out. The beast kingdom does not last a long time. That's one very good thing we know from scripture. But it's absolutely making its move. I mean, this is the thing. The New World Order is absolutely making their move right now. And as they're toppling these governments in the Middle East, and we've got Obama basically defying Congress and whatever rhetoric we're hearing about all that, with the way that he's invading these countries on executive orders. Well, you know, the bottom line is he's basically under UN sanctions on with what they're doing in the Middle East. You know, Obama is basically operating under NATO UN laws. And they're going after Gaddafi right now, and they're going to try him in the International Criminal Court. And this is all Noah Hyde, Antichrist, one world government system that is absolutely in full swing, you know, right before our eyes. And as they're gathering up these countries in the Middle East that are not part of that haven't been a part of the New World Order, you know, what we call democracy. You know, that's the beast.
That's the political beast.
The illusion that we're saving the citizens of these countries, you know, to spread democracy. Basically, what that means is that we are corrupting the covenant with flatteries with our demonic beast government system, masquerading behind the name of democracy, as we spread the filth that has basically collapsed the moral fiber of America in the last 60 years. You know, we're attempting to now, you know, Satan is basically attempting to, completely, spread this filth throughout the rest of the world that's still stayed free from it. And, you know, as we're seeing, you know, this is the end game. As these countries, you know, obviously, the last holdout is going to be Iran. And, my understanding is what they're attempting to do is just completely control these nations and ultimately the oil of the Middle East. And it's right. This is going to be the spark plug of World War III. If we, you know, it's very debatable if it's already started. You know, I'm under the impression that it's already begun. And as they're talking about ground troops invading Libya in the fall. And I'm hearing conflicting reports as it maybe even be sooner than that. You know, troops are being called back to service, and it's all happening right now in front of us. When we have a ground invasion in Libya, you know, that's going to be, because this is basically, China has a presence in Libya. And, you know, we're getting the big empires involved here, Russia and China. And what it's going to be is it's going to be the British Empire against, the East, or essentially in Scripture, it's the North and the South. You know,
on a physical layer, it's the North and the South, right? You know, they're using Gaddafi. They put him there and placed this guy there, this puppet, to start with.
Yeah.
And now they're going to use him to set up and to establish a legal precedence for these things that these Noahide courts and stuff that you were talking about.
Right.
And Chris, you had more on current events in terms of the current laws that are mingled.
Well, just that, you know, these guys are operating under the ICC laws. And I got to say, I'm studying it right now. It's very, very detailed as far as the, what's actually taking place here. But as we are definitely shifting towards a global governance. That's another buzzword, global governance. And this is it. And I'm telling you, as this thing progresses, it's going to be the black horse, red horse, Holocaust, the white horse, red horse, black horse Holocaust events that we saw in 100 years ago, as we see the white horse as the British Empire. And you know the atrocities that took place under the under that kingdom, and then the atrocities that took place under the Red Horse Kingdom, which you know we've presented here many times as Russia and the Bolshevik communist regime, but then we have to also realize too something I just got a hold of. It's just something that I only. Tuned into, stuff you know, but you just start putting, there's a piece of the puzzle that's kind of was sitting in the corner and I just kind of fit it in there. But, Chairman Mao, the United States, the beast government, the pale horse beast government, basically we call it the United States, the melting pot, but, we look in scripture and we find it as the pale horse. Well, they put Chairman Mao into power and basically that all came out of the same 47, 48, post-war era. We can't just think of the Red Horse as simply Russia.
No,
it's whole communist thing.
Exactly, 50 something million people killed there in China. Yeah, they kind of left Chiang Kai-shek out to dry, and they didn't really give Chiang Kai-shek the support that he needed, and the Mao forces overtook China.
And the good news,
they cut MacArthur back too, and these big things were all intentionally done.
The thing we're looking at, audience, is we try and point you to our Lord Jesus Christ, and
absolutely.
We study the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that we give you the proper rendering of Scripture. And everything we're discussing on current event is scriptural. On one level, they said there'll be a world government. That's Satan's government. He is ruling the kingdom. He's sitting in the temple. And on one level, you are the temple of the Lord. So if your life is being run by Satan, and you're not turning to our Lord Jesus Christ, then you're equated to being like a serpent or scorpion. And if you're under a different gospel, you're not pointing to Jesus Christ and the finished works of the cross. He's watching you. He knows every hair on your head. And he's ruling and reigning now. And if you're in salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, he tells you you're a lively stone. And you're built into a wall that he's the chief cornerstone of. And outside that wall is everything else. It's them. And the Gentiles and the heathen equated to serpents and scorpions and tares, bad vessels, are running the whole show, and that's our current events.
Yeah. Real time and, right now.
And if you're a new listener, this is the meat of Scripture. And if you go back to our first shows last August, Your given shows that teach about the purpose-driven, dominionism, dispensationalism, all doctrines of demons, all made for profit. Rick Warren's, what was it? Chris,
well,
what
purpose,
was it?
Rick
purpose-driven?
Warren, yeah. Purpose-driven.
But audience, you're the Good Samaritan, because the man laying in the street, those are Christians. And all of these movements are just walking on the other side of the street. They're not going to help the Good Samaritan. They're not going to help the person wounded in the street that's not seeing this in the spirit. You know, it's the Good Samaritan that had the truth of our Lord.
He's spiritually robbed by the churches and the lying shepherds and the...
Everything bad. And we've gone over it over and over and over, idol shepherds that are ruling the churches right now. And Bill, on another level, we talked about Feast of Demons.
Yeah, if the gospel has been torn down, and the walls that they hedged about have been torn down, then the enemy comes in. And if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, what else is there to be full of? Or what else is to inhabit you other than the devils? They're being feasted upon by devils spiritually, and they're lying dead in the street now. You know, Mary Magdalene was lying dead in the street with seven devils in her. And people think that was just a history lesson. It was back for those days. And, you know, we come from watching shows like Poltergeist and all this nonsense. We don't really understand what devils are and what feasting of devils is. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is no gospel, not present there, then I'm sorry, there isn't only one other entity that moves in. And they will feast upon your spirit.
And it gets worse, audience, yeah. Because the man left that had he had his house cleaned out, and he came back. He was in the rest of our Lord Jesus Christ. He went back in the house, and he was inhabited by more demons.
Yep. Yeah, I would say that Mary Magdalene was probably in better shape than the church today, and she had seven demons.
Huh.
And it's not meant to, when the gospel was closed at the cross, in terms of the proper renderings of the parables, the analogies, the examples that we're supposed to study. And on one level you have from Genesis to Revelation that it's, Bill, have we fallen out of any fluency, any scripture that hasn't been weighted?
No. It all comes into harmony if you wait on the kingdom of God and have the Holy Spirit revealed to you. It all harmonizes totally together. At least I've found that.
Yeah, I had something. You know, just these truths. You know, as we just progress, and I just put together with the woman at the well. You know, and Jesus told her about her insatiable thirst, right? I mean, I never realized basically she's had all these husbands and is living, you know, with someone now. You know, she's got quite a thirst there, doesn't she? And then I just never really grabbed that aspect of it. That insatiable thirst to quench the thirst,
right,
of the flesh.
You got to have water every day, you know, or you can't live very long in this world. You know, she had five husbands. The man she was living with was number six. Then she finally found the fountains of living water, Jesus Christ, number seven. Then, of course, she stayed in number seven. She went back to Samaria and told all of her friends. She didn't go there. She didn't go and start a church there. She didn't go. She didn't go and build an organization. She just went and witnessed the word of the Messiah to her friends.
Uh-huh.
And if you're a sinner out there,
that's spiritual reproducing.
And you, not in the repentance. Remember, just change your mind about this. Don't listen to the doctrines of demons telling you that repentance is a bad thing. Reading the scriptures and turning around and saying, well, this is the truth. And taking a look at it scripturally, you will see that you need to repent of your sins.
There's not much out there going on as far as teaching a repentance. They're teaching everything, but there's really no one teaching repentance.
No, there's not.
They're teaching power grabbing. They're teaching blessings. They're teaching many things, but there's really very little teaching of repentance going on out there.
Yeah. Amen.
And it reminds me so much of Acts chapter 2, when after Peter told them, all the mockers there, he gave that, he was quoting from the book of Joel, and people were astonished by his doctrine there, and they finally said, what verse is, here it is, verse 37. Now when they heard all of this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So, you know, they're raising up their hands saying, what shall we do?
Yeah.
And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
And you, audience, by studying yourself approved, already know that. That's the meat of Scripture. And our current events are telling you that no, the world is thinking that it's going to be a new world order and it's, you know, it's coming. Well, it is. But it's not your new world order.
Doesn't really matter. It's just the same old world. It's just, it's always been there. You know, it's, our battle is not with, you know, it's not, it's good to keep up with all these things, maybe so you're not deceived into Christian Zionism and the many other forms of deceits out there. But really, just keeping your eyes focused on Jesus Christ, you know, was it Peter that got out of the boat and went to meet Christ and he was walking on water? And as soon as he took his eyes off Christ, that's when he lost it and started sinking into the ocean.
And that's what all these doctrines of demons want. They want flesh.
Yeah.
But I do maintain absolutely adamantly, based on our Mark of the Beast show and, you know, the Revelation 13 study that led up to all the understanding, is that it clearly is a call to come out of the church, come out of the harlot corporate church, because that is absolutely
That is the modus operandi of the day, yes.
Yes, and that's how they're doing it, and Christians cannot go along with it. The multitudes in the valley of decision must decide to separate from the woman and the beast, harlot, mystery Babylon harlot system. And we'll take a look at this tonight as we get into our continued study of Revelation, the beast of Revelation. And we did several weeks of chapter 13. And we've gotten into 17, and you know we're going to hope to, you know, move along in that tonight. But the scripture is for today, and it's important. It's absolutely important for Christians to understand it. And the reason that it's so important is because they're not getting taught this in the churches. So you know, we've seen so many aspects of this, but you know, basically, I refer to the churches as Marxist mind control hives today. And I really think that's a really good description of the corporate church. It's a corporate hive. And
exactly. And you know, the main reason for coming out is there is no allegiance in these broken cisterns that can hold no water.
No.
There is no allegiance to Jesus Christ in these systems. Their allegiance is to everything but Christ.
And prophetically, audience, this is foretold in Isaiah 24:5, and this is where, gentlemen, I would ask for comments after the scripture, because we had our original studies were focused on the church, and when we focused on the church, because judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and under one level, audience, we've seen that in all the churches, which is an indication that that's the woman that's riding the beast. It's, you're in the Babylonian system. You're in spiritual Egypt, spiritual Sodom, if you're still in these churches. But on another level, and this has been the over the past year, audience, we're now told about the earth. Isaiah 24:5, the earth also is defiled. And that defilement is in a moral sense, audience. It's polluted, and it profanes itself. Under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Now, this is now, audience, that we're being told that it, when you study the churches, you're going to find that's true. Gentlemen, true?
That's true, that's true. Already happened, already happened, already happened, already happened. Once you start picking up on the spiritual.
Yeah, that was 50 miles back, 100 miles back.
Yeah, and the problem is in these Babylonian churches who feed the flesh, you know, we've seen that in Daniel chapter 4. We'll probably touch upon that tonight again. I want to keep driving that one home because it's so huge. But, you know, the mustard seed grows into the tree of Babylon where all flesh is fed. And, you know, this is the reason that you can't get these spiritual renderings, because the focus is on the fleshly understanding. But it's so clear that, you know, a natural man understands not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And, you know, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See. The key word there is see. Seeing the abomination of God.
Absolutely. This is why the kingdom of God comes not with observation.
Exactly, because you can't see it.
But they're God's blind.
God
audience.
Does see it.
And remember who healed the blind, who healed the deaf, who healed the mute? It was our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an analogy. If you're blind to this and this is new to you, audience, if you're a new member, please, we have resources that will answer your questions initially. But it's the Holy Spirit that will teach you this. Because you're studying yourself approved, you're a lively stone. And just because we say it so, you can't discern that way at this time. We pray that we're not deceived.
Amen.
We try and point you to our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the best our flesh can offer you. But the scriptural renderings that we've been given with the blessing of just being able to understand it ourselves, you, audience, well, you'll have more. You'll have more of understanding the truth than you could ever imagine, gentlemen.
Oh, yes, the fountains of living waters. Well, yeah, you can't contain it. It'll be the fountains of living waters bubbling up in you.
Yeah.
And for the audience member that commented about the Joe Lunchbox, they were tired of hearing the Joe Lunchbox crew. That's what we are. We are not ordained by any sect or denomination, and we're have our own separate vocations in everything we do, and we're just trying to preach this gospel, and we do it as plainly as possible.
Yeah, our friend, Bernard Pyron on Facebook over the weekend, we were the William Tyndale information, Bill, and we have to really, you know, commend you for your diligence there in finding, you know, his studies were so right.
My
on.
Wife's been reading those for 20 years.
She has?
And telling me about, and I hadn't, you know, I was not become a Christian until about 3 years ago. But she had been reading these long time for 20 years. And Sister Loretta actually located those on the website. And I couldn't find them on the, and I highly recommend going in and reading the one, if you want a fabulous one to read to start with, all about his prologue to the book of Jonah.
Yeah. I
Maybe we'll put that, we could put that link up on the site for the, and
yeah, we could do that.
The man had tremendous, tremendous spiritual understanding of the text.
It's all spiritual, and that's how these scriptures are intended to be interpreted. And, the question or the comment was posted that Bernard said, I don't know of any remnant that's gone to seminary. And I sat there for 10 minutes and thought about it myself, and I couldn't answer that. I said, you know, I sat here for 10 minutes. I can't think of anybody I know either.
Well, that was William
Tyndale was educated at Oxford, but that was before those institutions were corrupted.
Well, they were corrupted, right. You know, he came from a very wealthy family. He left all the wealth and everything, and he lived in absolute poverty.
Ah. And was martyred.
Right, he was martyred. And, you know, he was...
He's under the altar right now crying, how long, Lord?
Yes, yes,
how long? Till you avenge our blood?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So in looking at this audience, I remember an early analogy from one of our first shows. I was, you know, you're in a foxhole, and it's raining down bombs. You're in a cavalry charge alone, and there's thousands of them coming after you.
Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go.
And to be sober about this audience, this is the truth of Scripture, that these churches now are likened to our Lord's time when he came and he said, you're of your father the devil. That's who's running your show. All of them. And it doesn't matter if it's a eastern country, if it's a western country, if it's northern country, if it's a southern country. It doesn't matter what kind of church it is, you come out of her. The Babylonian system. Spiritual Egypt. And you come unto me, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. And you enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want a hoodie on. You're to prepare yourself as the holy vessel of the Lord. It says, be ye holy. Don't worry about the rest. Fight in your mind against sin. Put on the full helmet of salvation and focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're talking about the Feast of Demons. Okay, we've progressed from, gentlemen, we're looking at judgment begins at the house of the Lord when we started.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we've progressed now, audience, that we're looking at the inhabitants of the earth and what's going on. And the outer court, there is no doubt that it's happening.
You know, speaking of judgment and beginning in the house of God, well, make no mistake, folks, it's begun. Because, I mean, we've been teaching the Gog-Magog War, and as we see, the Gog-Magog War is when the church turns on itself. And this is what we're experiencing right now as the deceived, the deception, you know, the restrainer's been lifted. Will it get worse? Yes. How? You know, we don't know. Sometimes we question if it could get any worse. You know, the darkness and gross darkness. I mean, this is the time that the remnant is to have their light shine through this gross darkness. But the judgment is the unleashing of Satan, and he is unleashed because the gospel message has been so watered down that it's basically ineffective. Is there still some life in these corporate churches? Debatable. There's probably a few that haven't gotten the call to come out, but soon, when Jerusalem is completely compassed with armies, the desolation, when we see Jerusalem compassed with armies, we know that desolation draweth nigh. And this is what Scripture says, and we know that Jerusalem is compassed with armies now. Jerusalem is the remnant body of Christ, and they are surrounded by the serpents and scorpions, the tares. The tares are turning black. And these tares are tares because they're deceived. They've been turned over to strong delusion. They love not the truth, and they are caught up in their pride and idolatry. And for this cause, God sends strong delusion. For a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. I will set a snare for thee, O Babylon. You are caught, it says in Jeremiah. You know, this is right here, right now. The judgment is the deception. As we see these lies, the flood of lies, the flood, the spiritual flood is on us. And this flood is a metaphor for lies, the deception. And we see today deception that is it's just a steady, progressive infiltration. That some of the things I'm seeing now, somebody sent me a link tonight about some things that one of these characters in the emergent church is saying. I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. And I just, she said, this is judgment. And I agreed. I go, yes, this is judgment. This is the judgment. God's turned these yo-yos over to strong delusion because they're following after the vanities of their own mind. And this is what you have. And as this progresses and it gets clearer and clearer, God's people see it. And this is what's happening now, because people are coming out of the churches. They're waking up to what's happening. It's very encouraging on one respect, because we see some of, like, the Reformed camp is actually making an aggressive counter to these people that are leaving the churches, because it's becoming clear that the leadership is aware that people are leaving the harlot system, and they've got a counterattack for this. And honestly, this is what we're seeing is the armies, the two armies in Scripture, which we're going to be really digging into some deep stuff in the forthcoming Gog Magog shows, as we go into Joel and Joel's army, and we go into Daniel chapter 11 and the armies from the north and the armies from the south that come against the multitudes in the Valley of Decision. This is all happening in real time right now, all in the spirit realm, because the kingdom of God comes without observation. And, God's remnant observes the kingdom and are aware of what's taking place in these heavenlies.
I'd like to expound just a second there. You were talking about the bottomless pit there and this being loosed for a season, Chris.
Yeah, right.
And I want to go into this in the future,
so
a whole
rich.
Study on Revelation.
The truth there is so rich.
It's in Revelation chapter 9. Is these chapters in Revelation bounce around. The only one that I feel is a finishing one is number 20, 22, or maybe 21 and 22. But, it says in the fish, these things have been running simultaneously. All of this stuff's been running simultaneously for 2,000 years. And we're reaching a head point at the end where it all comes together in a giant manifested way. But, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. That's the church. That's the fallen church there.
Okay.
And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. They're the ones that actually opened the bottomless pit up, because they got no gospel.
Okay.
And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and the smoke was great in the furnace, and the sun and the air were dark, and there's so much smoke from all this darkness that you can't see. There isn't any light. And it goes on to speak, and I don't want to go into it deeply right now, but the 5 months, I'm saying it's not 5 months at all. It's symbolic. It has to do with God's grace. That 5 months is the little season. It's from the grace of God that this little season comes, because if it doesn't come, the whole multitude's going to hell.
That's right.
But, I would like to cover that chapter in the future, because that chapter, chapter 9, is the little season. It's actually the church itself that allows them to come out of the bottomless pit.
Isn't that
something?
Because
they turned away from the gospel.
They turned away from the true gospel.
Everything is irony. That's just pure irony, and the whole Bible's irony.
Oh, the whole Bible is irony. It's absolutely amazing. The Lord is just so... it's just absolutely brilliant the way that that these truths just interweave with themselves.
I'm seeing more and more and more that basically the whole book of Revelations is written in symbology and spiritual language.
Oh, yeah.
I spent several hours reading it again last night, the first four or five chapters, and the symbology is just gigantic.
And it's so humbling to think that the energy that's been expelled on... learning this stuff in these in these seminaries I've always loved the views, the four views of Revelation. What is that? How can but this is fleshly understanding that men have studied as hard as they could, and this is the best they can come up with, was four views. And I know that they send these guys out of these seminaries with the four views. And, how can that be that, our sovereign God can't, give us the truth? Well, we know the answer to that. But,
I still struggle over a lot of chapters in Revelation. I struggle over some of the first ones. I haven't gotten any kind of clarity, or very tiny little bit. But there's others that, 13, 12, 11, 20, 21, yeah. Chapter 9. You know, I'm just getting more and more and more clarity as time goes each chapter.
Well, I agree.
They just bounce around. They bounce around. They're really not in order. And in some cases, they are one or two chapters at a time.
Yeah, it's all God's timing, you know.
And really all it is 4, 5, 7, 10. You know, it's talking about tribulation, number 5, God's grace, number 7, they return to his holiness, number 10, they become perfected in his saints. I mean, that's the whole story of Revelation, 4, 5, 7, and 10.
And that's what we're preaching on. We want no more. No more look to the understanding of men. Look to the gospel. In Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, to bring this together, you could go back to Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand, and that's an admonishment, audience, you're to understand this, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Now, audience, that's the old covenant to the new covenant, pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone of Jerusalem above.
Right. And now they're trying to build the chief cornerstone using David Rockefeller.
Or you could look at it on one level. We have the names of who's in the news, audience. But this is happening in your neighbor's house. They're being overrun with false doctrine. And you, audience, have to be the Good Samaritan. And we were talking, Bill, about, you know, being the spiritual house of the, in the Lord's covenant, audience. You do not know how the Lord will use you or what vocations you've had your whole life, that you will come back and be serving him, and you'll know it.
Right. He maketh you lie down in green pastures by still waters. So whatever your vocation is, what, you know, he's the one that's going to make you into what you are.
Peace.
He's going to make you lie down in green pastures. That's rest. Doing his works, in other words.
He is the Prince of Peace, audience. And it's sobering. It's terrifying. When you'll learn the fear of the Lord because you see this spiritually happening. And the churches are overrun already.
The gospel's terrifying.
It's fear
the
of the Lord.
The gospel is terrifying. You're right. It's like them watching a horror movie or something, a Vincent Price movie to them.
I mean, what you're called to do, you know, you're called to die. You're called, you know, you make the decision, you're called, and then, you know, you're given the chance to respond. And, you know, it's that decision that you make to endure, you know, continue. And this is the dynamic that goes on because, you know, so many people do have the Holy Spirit touch them at whatever.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It could be at a church, even a church function.
Romans 11 covers that.
I can testify right now, my little girl, I've got three precious daughters, and my middle daughter had a real experience with the Lord at a youth conference at this big Harlot church up here. And hey, there was a guy in one of the bands that spoke to her. I mean, I'm not going to say it's, you know, there is something still going on there. But what happens? They get plugged back into the system and they get sucked right back down to lukewarm. That's the problem. That's what goes on. That's what goes on at, a Billy Graham concert. Hey, whatever happened with Billy Graham, you know, at a time he probably was preaching the real gospel and touched lives. But what do? They get plugged back into these churches. And the churches destroy them. The churches take them right back to lukewarm.
So we're told, audience, before we go into your study, Bill, that, okay, you enter into the wilderness, you're in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, and the whole world lies in wickedness, and out in the wilderness you're going to get snared. And Chris,
because the snare comes on the whole earth, which is big, the whole earth.
Hey, but I'll tell you what, on a layer, Bill, there's something that you've been saying, and that the two beasts, the beast out of the sea, that's Israel, and the beast out of the earth, that's the church. And on one layer, I do see the earth as the church. And because and it's the beast that was not, and shall ascend, you know, we see the beast, you know, out of the sea, out of Israel, that, you know, wandered in dry places for the years that the false prophet, the harlot church, has reigned, or whatever, you know, has had its run. Now it's pointing people back towards that beast out of the sea.
Right.
You know, there's definitely a good point, Chris.
Good point
understanding there.
And
so when you say all them that dwell on the earth, I can see that that meaning all them that are in the churches. I mean, all those that are considered the church, really. I mean, the New Testament church and the Old Testament church is what we're talking about here. The sea is the, you know, physical Israel. The earth is spiritual Israel, however you want to define them, you know. But there's a real solid principle there that you picked up on, Bill. It's been helping me.
And one level, audience, when it's referred to the earth, you know, that's the Lord's land, our Lord God.
Right.
And you are the temple of the Lord on this earth that's run by Satan, so you're standing in the holy place. You've got your sandals off. You are in the meekness of the Lord, because it's unbelievable. When he says, I will overturn, and you look at what the churches are preaching versus the gospel, it's unbelievable. And there's millions and millions of people under these lies. Bill, we'll go to Romans.
Thinking in the flesh, you can come up with all kinds of doctrines thinking in the flesh.
It's shocking.
Yeah, Romans 25 covers this great mystery of how the multitude's going to be redeemed. In Romans 11:25 is where I was going to start. I meant chapter 11, yes. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You know, before I even get into this, I want to say, you know, all Israel was saved, is saved, and is going to be saved in God's timeline. You know, he was the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. But we are going to see the future events as it works through this timeline. And what Paul is telling them there, that he does not desire that they should be unaware of the great mystery of the kingdom. He's, you know, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, he says. You know, Paul's communicating to them that the truth in regard to this mystery, lest they should attempt to inquire into with the carnal understanding of pride. Then they should speculate about the reason why God had rejected, you know, the Jews in the Old Testament. And this applies to the apostate church of spiritual Jews in our time era right now, or in this last age. And and he said, you know, he's telling them you should not exercise the carnal and prideful belief that by your own skill and genius you have ascertained this cause, or, you know, we have, so to speak, arrived. You know, rather than leave them with vain speculations and selfish gratifications, he chose to cut short all the inquiry just by stating the truth about their present and future state of Israel. And I'm just reading from notes that I had accumulated earlier on today. I took about 11 of these verses and tried to write them out and explain them. And so all Israel shall be saved, that is, it is written. And there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Well, as we know all Israel was saved, is saved, and going to be saved. But there's still a future timeline that we're living in this earthly realm. You know, the all Israel is the saved portion of Israel. So it's very clear right there. So all Israel shall be saved.
But all Israel is not Israel.
All Israel is not of Israel, Paul says. Of Israel is everything, the apostate and the multitudes. So
right.
All Israel's the saved portion.
Right.
And that's just why he says here, and all Israel shall be saved. You know,
that's awesome.
And then the unsaved portion right now, which is Jacob, which he refers here, there shall come out of Zion the liver and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So they're going to be turned away from ungodliness. They shall
this
be made
is the apostate church.
Yes.
This is the apostate in the church right now.
Yes.
The apostate Christian.
Absolutely. Apostate Christians, right. It doesn't have to necessarily even be in a church. You know, the church is going to, yes, they're the main cistern that's holding all this. So they're going to be made godly and will be brought into the inner court, and all Israel shall be saved. Now, this has been is a process that's been going on for 2,000 years. You know, and it will end in a final end of the age birthing of the man-child as well. Then in verse 27, and feel free to comment, either of you gentlemen, on these. For this is my covenant to them, which I shall take away their sins. You know, so right now they're in the bondage of sin. They're in the little season. The smoke is coming up out of the pit. They've unlocked the pit. They're living in sin. Sin is their master. But they will be delivered from such, though, his covenant that was confirmed and sealed at the cross. So his covenant is going to deliver them from this.
And audience, it says, my covenant unto them, that's you, audience.
Yes.
That's you who are seeking the meat of Scripture, because there's a famine on the land, and the famine is for the Word. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, yes, yeah, anytime you want to interject a comment, yeah, that was very, very good there, Bob. Appreciate that. And you too, Chris.
Okay.
And, you know, 28 and 29 are big verses, too. And concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. So we're not to mingle the gospel. Does it mean that you're not to interact? You know, Jesus says, I have to walk through Samaria. You know, all the Jews and stuff from Jerusalem, they walked around Samaria. Jesus says, I must go through. He was interacting. But he never mingled the gospel. He never mingled his truth. You know, it's like James.
Which is what the church has done today. They have mingled the gospel.
They have mingled,
this is what
absolutely.
The purpose-driven was the final apostasy, as the purpose-driven, you know, dialogue to consensus. And they basically met in meetings to decide what the truth of Scripture was. And
flatteries.
That's, yeah, flatteries. And this is the truth that, you know, their version of the truth, you know, that they're putting out in these churches. And it's, you know, always
talking
and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. This is what's going on.
But on one level, we look at that and you see, you know, are they feeding people?
Oh, they're feeding them stones instead of spiritual manna.
Oh, and you know, the churches are doing, they do, you know, community service and things like that, but if they're not doing it born again, they're just, you know, they're doing it in their own flesh, and,
they're doing the work
for themselves. They can't be obedient to Scripture if they're living in their flesh.
Bill, would you go over that analogy of why they're being fed stones and how that works as far as a example of the context that is used, of why they can't take the meat of Scripture?
Yeah, very few of them can take the baby milk. They throw that back at you. But when you're not getting the truth of Scripture, even such as in these New Age Bibles, you're getting stones mixed in with the truth. And they get caught up into your digestive system. And I'm speaking of your spiritual digestive system here. And they clog up your intestines, and you can't get the full meat of Scripture. Jesus says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Well, that's, you know, spiritual, eating spiritually of the spiritual manna. And that spiritual manna is what brings life. These stones just, you know, they bring death. there is in many ways, they're like the stones in your heart when it's supposed to be the fertile field, and you go plowing and planting the seed in, and they keep running into stones. And you can't feed your congregation stones. You can't feed them a little bit of spiritual food and then, you know, have a bunch of stones in there for filler, you know. It's like a McDonald's hamburger. They give you a little bit of meat, and the rest of it is no. There's no telling what all the other rest of the stuff is.
It'll last forever.
Yeah, right. Hey.
And
so audience, there's no nutrients here. The body's not going to grow. You're like Wonder Bread. There's no nutrients in Wonder Bread. Remember those commercials that used to build your body in 12 rays?
Right.
Well, that's what this gospel is. This is the gospel of the Wonder Bread, you know, the signs and wonders. And you're not going to build.
You can take a whole loaf of Wonder Bread and smash it into one slice.
Yeah.
And audience, it's telling you scripturally that they're coming after the gospel.
Oh yeah, they hate this gospel.
And it says concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. And
right,
when they say enemies, that's equated to being hateful, hostile, adversary.
Standing in the gate.
Adversary, especially Satan, an enemy and a foe. So the gospel here that has been hidden from the world, because they had this gospel, let's see, 100 years ago, gentlemen, 200 years ago?
Well, they certainly had a much larger portion of it, at least from 1500 up to approximately 1900.
And they couldn't preach any of this new age stuff.
They couldn't preach this garbage today, no way.
No. Audience, back in the day, they would be purged, because the proper gospel doctrine is to purge these teachings. You couldn't walk into a church and preach dispensationalism, dominionism.
You couldn't even preach millennial reign 150 years ago. They would have laughed at you.
Laughed at you. So that tells you how vulnerable you are to the world without the gospel. And
that's
in
right.
Every analogy and in parable, it says the same thing. To know the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, study the Word. He is the Word. And they're going to try and diminish the Word. And it's likened unto a famine on the land. And you can't get a better example than they took the King James Bible and they copyrighted it. And now there's 50 Bibles. And they diminish the word so that you don't have the meat of Scripture. In any of these other Bibles, they've taken Satan, the word Satan, out of there 20 times, Bill, 22.
Well, just the NKJV, I believe. I just this is off of memory, and I could be wrong. I think it was reduced from 56 times to 36 times.
Something so subtle, but you know it's subtle because it's of Satan.
And they said God created evil. You know, I believe it's in Isaiah, God created evil. They've changed that to God creates calamity, which is, you know, substantially different. I mean, you know, do they have some characteristics that dovetail together? Yes. But
and they want you to read a different gospel, audience. That's their goal. They want you to listen to their DVD because of the money changers. And Jesus cleaned out the money changers. And you need to clean out the money changers. Because if you're not following along scripturally of your own vocation, ours are studies that are given to us to do. But your own vocation will have studies.
Yeah, everybody's got to check this stuff themselves. You can't trust anything anybody says. You know, that's what Jesus said to the rich young ruler, who is good? Don't even
and
trust
even
me.
Paul and Thessalonians, they ran back to their Bibles to approve what Paul was teaching.
Right.
I think the Bereans.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter at this time. It's all
right,
bad.
Right. Trust nothing of mammon. But touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So even though we're enemies for the gospel's sake, as touching the election, they are beloved for the God of their sins. So God still loves these people. for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And I would like to read a little bit I wrote on this today. You know, for the gifts of God, the favors or the benefits which God bestows on them, such are all the favors which God bestows on sinners, including pardon, peace, joy, sanctification, and eternal life. And that all the promises made to the people of God shall be fulfilled in this mystery, Paul's telling them. That none who become his true lost sheep will be forsaken. You know, God does not bestow the gift of repentance and of faith, pardon, and peace on his people for a temporary purpose, which would leave the soul in the state of ruin. So, you know, we're going to be enemies for the gospel's sake. But we're not enemies with these people. We're not looking to start wars with them. We're not looking to throw fiery darts at them. We're not, you know, but you stand fast in the gospel. And you do not compromise the gospel whatsoever.
Right.
But we could still interact. You know, James Lloyd calls this fishing in muddy waters, or fishing in dirty waters, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And that's a good analysis. And, you know, it says Jesus, he interacted a lot. He said, I must go through Samaria. And but he didn't compromise the gospel. Didn't compromise the truth. He didn't compromise what the Father sent him there for.
And we can never minimize it. We have to always be careful. We have to, you know, Jesus always went back into the, you know, the wilderness and prayed. And, you know, this is how we have to be to get recharged. Otherwise, you know, we get sucked down, you know, because this is the dynamic that happens. You know, analogy
the pride
of trying to
suck you down. The pride is the biggest spiritual heart disease there is.
Yeah. Amen.
For as ye in times past have not believed God, he's speaking of these Gentiles, yet have not obtained mercy through their unbelief. Have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. So God's going to give them mercy through their unbelief. You know, the Gentiles of times past, before this gospel is preached unto all nations, that's what it makes me think of in Matthew 24.
Right.
You know, this
Until this gospel is preached to all Gentiles.
Right. You know, this refers to the former idolatrous and sinful state of the pagan world, and also today, who receives God's mercy through their unbelief. Through their unbelief, they can actually receive God's mercy. These multitudes are in a state of alienation. They're being alienated. They're alienated from God right now. Mm-hmm. But not so as to be totally and forever excluded from his salvation through his strange act that he's going to be performing.
Never. Don't let him preach anything to you that way, audience. It is the Lord. It is his salvation.
So, you know, God has allowed men to be bound and servants of disobedience so that he may have mercy on them and glorify himself.
That is one equation that speaks of a huge multitude.
Mm-hmm.
Where the other occasion, audience, at this time in our generation, we look at who's studying their Bible. Well, barely anybody. And we look and say, well, you know, how are we going to get the true gospel out? Well, all we can do is do what we're doing.
Right. Paul is telling us that we can't be wise in our own conceits of this. He's just telling you that this is a mystery of God, and he's telling you that this is going to happen. And we can't be wise in our own conceits and trying to figure out, try to force Sarah's baby or whatever. I just have the faith that I know that God is going to do work a marvelous, strange act. From Amen. A physical perspective, if I look around, the people that I associate with, the world that I see, just looking at the carnal mind, this seems totally impossible to me.
Totally impossible.
Totally impossible.
But in a worse scenario,
I know that God's words are true.
In a worse scenario, on a basic level, audience, overrun, behind enemy lines, no hope, and the only hope left is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. You know, verse 31 here is huge, too. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Through your mercy they may also attain mercy. So they too have now been disobedient in order that they may obtain mercy, the same mercy that was shown to you. In turn, through your mercy, this is how it works. Remember, he handed the bread to the disciples, and the disciples handed it to the multitudes. You're also going to see binding and loosening right in this verse. Through your mercy, also they may obtain mercy. So remember the mercy that Stephen gave Paul, and Paul received mercy? Now, who would have ever thought that Paul would have been a saved Israel? You would have thought totally impossible if you were a Christian back then. Like if you were in the, you would have said, well, no, there's no possible way that Paul could be saved. And yet he was.
And it's told that way in the scriptures, audience. That, you know, here comes Paul was a Pharisee. He studied under Gamaliel, who was the leading Pharisee. Exclusive school. Of all the proper, their manly flesh made proper rendering of scripture, because they were under doctrines of demons. Our Lord told us so. You are your father the devil. You guys are all wrong. Wow. And if you asked prior to Paul's salvation, what was Paul doing? Paul was killing and locking up Christians. That was his vocation. And he thought he was doing the will of the Lord.
Actually, he was, too, in one respect, because, you know, the devil's servants always, he created such havoc. That's where you get your word Havilah back from the Old Testament. In Acts chapter, I believe it's, call off, Acts chapter 8, that he was going from house to house creating such havoc. You know, it's tribulation. And that they scattered the Christians everywhere. So Paul actually, through his havoc, caused the religion to grow faster.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the wisdom of the Lord. It's not our
wisdom.
The wisdom
of the Lord. Absolutely the wisdom of the Lord. You know, praise the Almighty God in his wisdom. And men's wisdom is nothing. Verse 32 here, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief. So they've been all concluded in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And that's just huge. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You know, his ways are not of man's ways. And the grace of God, which pardons, is vast and way beyond the understanding and past comprehension of men, as we just used Paul for example. It is beyond the power of language to even express this. You know, and all that the Christian can do is to follow the example of the apostles and to trust in the profound admiration in the riches of and the grace of God. You know, we can't understand how the multitude is going to wake up, but from their out of their slumber, but they're going to wake up out of their slumber.
Thank our Lord Gentlemen. Jesus Christ. Chris?
Amen. I mean, we're seeing it right now.
So
there's absolutely an awakening going on, little by little.
Little by little, right. Absolutely. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Question mark. Or who hath been his counselor? Another question mark. Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. So, you know, what he's saying is, who could to pretend to understand the knowledge of the God Almighty? Or even attempt to fathom the reasons for his ways?
Right.
For his designs and his counsel are, like himself, infinite and inscrutable. Who can pretend to have any demands upon God, from whom all blessings of salvation come? So, you know, we can't have demands upon God or how he's going to do this or become wise in our own conceits. For of him and through him and to him all things are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. You know, it's all about God and nothing about us. It's all about God, and it's right as it says in verse 36. For him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. So it's all about God and nothing about us. And it's a great mystery how God, in his divine wisdom, is going to gather all his people. But as we started with this in verse 25, and all Israel shall be saved, that is written. So you could be assured he will do this as he has promised.
Hello. And audience, we look at this in amazement. It is just a blessing to recognize this. Because you recognize who's being tossed to and fro. You recognize the lion, Satan, a ravenous lion.
Yep.
And spiritually, you look and you say, oh my, I just can't believe this is happening. I can't believe I'm seeing this. This is grace.
I never thought I would see nothing like this in my lifetime, or even be able to even comprehend it on the little bit I have.
And it started with a very simple analogy, audience. The recognition that a woman hid three measures of leaven, and leavened the whole lump. And on one level, we have the church is totally leavened. And on another level, we have the earth is totally leavened. With false doctrines and doctrines of demons. But we were told on a spiritual level that Satan sits in the congregation.
I'd like to comment, too, real quickly, Bob. It just came to my mind, and my short-term memory is so bad that sometimes if I don't get it out. As we've looked so many times, it says he's not in the desert, and they say he's not in the secret chambers. Believe them not. He's not in the apostate churches. That's the desert. There's no holy water there. So don't go looking for him there. He's not there, he says. And the secret chambers is Gnosticism. That's the other option. There's two options. You can go to the church, or you can go to the world of Gnosticism. And he's not in that world neither. You know, that's the secret mind. That's all the other religions out there, SRF, Scientology, gosh, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them.
Thousands.
These are all the secret chambers. You know, this is the secret places in the mind, that in man's mind, where his wisdom can, Freemasonry can give you the answer. So he's not in the dry church, and he's not in the land of Freemasonry neither. He says, believe them not.
That's just a blessing to know, Bill. That's the proper rendering of Scripture, audience. Believe them not.
Amen.
Chris?
Yeah, I'll just close out with, maybe more of a, on a fleshly level tonight with what we see is the relationship of things celestial and terrestrial. You know, this is a teaching in 1 Corinthians, and it's huge. And what we see are physical outworkings and spiritual outworkings in their relationship. And we can't put it in a box, but we do see some of these physical events, earthquakes and diverse places. They're basically physical outworkings of the earthquakes that are taking place in the heavenlies. And the earthquake that is coming upon the harlot religious system as the truth, as the the hail, which is the persecution of the serpents, specifically. I just like to look at it generally as the persecution sweeps away the lies, because this is what's happening. The Lord's strange act is about sweeping away the lies that have take it over as Satan's tool is deception. And this judgment that we're under is this deception. And this thing is all happening right now in real time. where we are, you know, we have a hard time putting, you know, definitive parameters around these times, these 3.5 year time frames the Lord gives us. You know, we're still, you know, we lean towards them being symbolic as a rule. But we do know that, you know, you just look around and you can see that the gospel message has lost its, you know, the salt has lost its savor in the church. And, you know, the, what we're seeing now is an absolute, final move of this New World Order beast government. I mean, we're seeing signatures everywhere. There's 10 FEMA regions in the United States. You know, these are signatures. You know, these Masons know what they're doing, and they're counterfeiting Bible prophecy in the physical, and these things are all manifestations of the spiritual. But we see the New World Order propaganda is so strong right now, you know, in these movies, everywhere. And what it is, it's built upon the foundation of one of the false doctrines that came out of the 1800s, and that's the false understanding that the millennial kingdom is a future event, when we have taught clearly that the 1,000-year reign is when those are the remnant born-again believers ruling and reigning with Christ since the cross. The cross bound Satan, and now Satan has been unleashed because the gospel message has been diminished. And this is why the deception is so great, all for God's purpose. But we're seeing this New World Order coming into, you know, it's the New World Order, pale horse beast government is in a full gallop. And it is, ready to, you know, take full control as we're seeing this police state, forming, and it's going to be, Nazi Germany, Bolshevik Russia, China under Mao Zedong on steroids, and this is what we have ahead, and this is why it is time for anybody on the fence, anybody. Weighing, well, you better buckle down and get your heart right with the Lord. Take His yoke. His yoke is light. Enter into a Sabbath rest. It's where His peace is. And this tribulation that's upon us is going to continue in intensity and frequency. And the place to be is in the Lord's Sabbath rest. And this is where His protection is. We're to pray to be accounted worthy to escape. And this is what we need to understand, learn, take these words that we're teaching. You know, study yourself. We're in this mess because people are lazy. They haven't studied themselves approved. They're trusting these false prophet preachers standing behind these plexiglass pulpits, spewing lies, you know, corrupting with flatteries, keeping the doors, keeping the doors swinging, and keeping the pews filled so they can make their mortgage payments, and these harlot corporate structures. And I'm here to tell you that these things are coming down. And it's going to be when the dust settles is where, God's people are. And you want to find yourself, be sure of your election. You want to be in the inner court. Follow with us. You know, go back and grab these studies. You know, download these podcasts. Send comments. Anything that we can do to help, you know, we're here for you, and we love you. And I just want to thank everyone again for all the support. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, I would like to just follow up very, very briefly on Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, when Chris was quoting from verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed." You know, workmen, that's rest right there. We're resting in Jesus Christ. We're doing His works. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the whole Bible is truth. And dividing the truth is putting the proper identities on it. In other words, if you're not rightly dividing the truth, you're going to do as these people by plastering Joel's army all over themselves and saying Joel's army is a good thing, and they're praising Joel because they can't. They can't reconcile who's who in the Bible. He says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." And Bob has done excellent studies on ungodliness And that's what these profane babblings do. They're babblings of the flesh. And it says we're to shun these profane babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And as these vain babblings go on, we're seeing more and more ungodliness. And that's all I have to say this evening, gentlemen. God bless everyone out there.
Thank you, Bill, Chris. I just can't thank you enough for your teachings. It's always a pleasure.
Amen.
On you too, Bob.
Audience, I'd like to close with John 16:6, a couple verses. This is our Lord explaining what he is doing. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And it is sorrowful, gentlemen, to know the deception on the land. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of the sin and of the righteousness and of the judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, audience, everyone that does not preach Jesus Christ, Christ crucified, the finished works of the cross, they're saying Jesus is in the desert. Believe them not. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.
daughters, rich in treasure, wide in fame, you bow unto your